Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to Thursday. It's the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And I don't know, nothing going on. We're sitting here winding back and forth in some ridiculous range. But at the end of the day, what do we got going on here? There's a lot going on underneath the surface, and we're already seeing what we will categorize as the big puke. The big puke is taking place in the agricultural space as the bankers who hate to take risk are once again showing us, because they don't have the risk, that they can force somebody out, and they're forcing farmers and producers to puke out their cattle. Down here at what we would assume to be bottoms, because obviously the tie-in of emotion, the bank's unwillingness to let the markets trade, are what they're really doing is they're squeezing the poor independent out of his money, relieving him of his cash once again, forcing them to once again unload at what we would consider most likely a bottom in this market. I think that this is very common from their standpoint, because they're looking at it and they go, well, you owe me $100,000. Even though you're losing $200,000, you've got $100,000 left of an inventory, and we're going to force you to sell it so that we can get paid. And, of course, once again, that'll most likely create the bottom of the market, because one thing we know about markets is that when you're fearful or you're greedy, and we get to an extreme, that is typically the end of that market. And of course, I will go on record here on September the 8th saying that the cattle markets are, if not at the low, very close to the low, because we are seeing the infamous, as we used to call it on the floor, the tap on the shoulder. And the big tap is never good, and the tap used to be when you were a trader, the brokerage house that you cleared through would come to you and say, okay, here's your choice. Your position is too big. You can take yourself out, or we'll take you out. Well, anytime they take you out, you know you're getting screwed, because they're not going to worry about anything. They're just going to sell and hit the panic button, which they do on a regular basis, because basically they're idiots and they have no conception of how the market actually works. So what they're going to really do is just say, well, we're getting our money and we don't give a rat about who you are. And, of course, happens all the time. Now, you know, that is one of the issues and problems when many of us read up and get too much into margin, okay? When we borrow too much against what we're trying to do, we create those situations, which is why you have to be very careful of the leverage that you create for yourself. Because you know that these guys could care less about what you're doing. All they care about is that what they're doing and their money. So you are putting yourself in an overall position to get screwed and get taken out at the bottom of the market. And it's, like I said, it's a common experience. It is, we call it the big puke. You've heard of the big short. Well, this is the big puke. And it usually signifies the bottom of any market. As we looked at the equity market back in 2009, as we look at any market over the history, as they get to a point, they've exhausted the sellers, and everybody's panicked out, making it a very appetizing market for the buyers. And, you know, again, I tell you this over and over again, that nobody cares more about what you're doing than you are, and be very careful at the amount of leverage you grab onto, because at the end of the day, the guy who's giving you the leverage is not going to give a rat ass about when he takes you out, okay? And that is one of the things that is so important overall, is that you have to make sure, which is why you measure and become very careful at the amount of leverage you want to expose yourself to, because, you know, they'll give you quite a bit, but they'll give it to you because you've got the asset to back it up. And if you've got the asset to back it up, then they know they can liquidate you out and get their money back, leaving you once again holding the bag. And usually it's the airsick bag, because again, in more cases than not, anytime there's a big puke, that typically signifies that it's over. So again, I warn all of you to be careful at how much leverage you use. And this also applies to the stock market. It's not just the agricultural markets. It's not just the guys, the bankers in the farm world. It's also the brokerage firms, and that allow you to get leveraged up, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 to 1, you know, depending on where you are and what product you're trading. Because again, they're going to just watch the amount of money that you have in there, and they're not going to worry about what's going to happen to you. You have to worry about what's going to happen to you, and that becomes the bigger issue, that you're going to get taken out. And of course, that's a great sign if you've been waiting on the sidelines to be a buyer, for example, of cattle right now. This is probably as good a buy as you're going to get. It doesn't mean we're going straight up, but what it does mean is that you've shaken out all the weak hands, all the panickers and pukers, and they're gone. So now, what direction should we go? Well, we should be able to turn around and go up, because that is what always happens, okay? So again, I urge you and I warn you to be careful, which is why hedging is always the best way to be, so that you don't have to worry about getting tattooed, being forced out by an idiot, okay, that has one interest, and that's the money. They could care less about your life. They care about their own, and they care about their bosses that are going to say, hey, why'd you let this guy get so deep in the hole? And they're going to say, screw you, adios, get out, and you're done. And of course, you will find out in most cases that you got done at just the absolute worst time. And that is one of the things that we do here at Bubba Trading, is to help people hedge, whether it be equities or agriculture, anything. We can hedge it all, and we want to help you beat the bad news that you get. We want to eliminate what we call the tap on the shoulder. So go to BubbaTrading.com, check it out, and you'll see the different hedging strategies that we offer. We teach. We've got them automated, so we can always keep you away from what we like to call the big puke. And instead of puking when others are puking, you'll be stepping in and taking advantage of the unemotional trading that you can now get into, because you know that you're protected. In the meantime, this is Bubba, the Bubba Show. And when you miss one of my shows, and how dare you do so, anyways, you go to libertytalk.fm and you can download the podcast every day, as well as the Sporting Edge. We're going to step out here for a break, and we will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd, Bubba Horowitz will be right back. Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. Come alive, come alive. And they certainly have come alive in the agricultural markets, which we talked about in the beginning. But, of course, in the equity markets, they are on total snooze. We have no reason that the market should do anything. And this is a note for those of you out there now that have not seen this before or not experienced it before, that the markets are now searching for a long time. Yeah, I'm becoming a singer. Searching for a reason to go down. Okay. Now, again, it doesn't mean they're going to go down soon. It just, they're searching. You get this massive consolidation on low volatility where the markets dribble up, okay, and dribble up and dribble up. But at the end of the day, okay, what you're going to find out is that they are searching for a reason to go down. And as we've talked about many, many times, the markets in a dull market will typically sit and not do much, okay? But they will typically drift, when they're dull, higher. Now, the reason that is because there is always money coming into the markets. You know, we hear this often in all products and in the equity markets. There's money on the sidelines. There's money on the sidelines. Let me just say this. I will clear this up for you right now. There is always money on the sidelines. That's an old wives' tale. It's all bullshit. Okay? There is always money that can come into the market at any time. Okay? So smart money is always waiting to take advantage of the pukes and the panics and those things. But barring anything to create that, you typically see a drift higher in the market. Now, we sit and we watch and we wait, and this is why the observation mode that we are in, or the you've heard the expression fish or cut bait. That's why we're cutting bait right now, because markets right now are not really all that tradable. Now, if you're an investor, that's great. You have no interest either way. Doesn't matter. Okay, your portfolio is drifting up. Hopefully, you're protecting that portfolio. But in the meantime, investors love a market that has no volatility because their accounts don't have dramatic swings. Traders and speculators hate markets like this because they don't move. But it's clear as day that the markets are waiting for a reason to sell off. What that reason will be, nobody knows. Okay? Nobody has any idea, because it is not going to be on economic data. It is not going to be on an earnings report, because those are all things we already know. Remember, there are certain things you already know in the market. So if you know that, then we know that the markets know it as well. Remember, the markets know more than anybody, because the markets are driven by the price action and by the action taken by traders, speculators, but more importantly, taken by the banks. Okay? Now, the banks and big firms and hedge funds, they spend millions of dollars a year on having this information faster than anybody else. And in today's world of information flow, they can kind of know what these reports are going to be before they come out. So they're not going to force a sell-off because of economic data. The sell-off will be caused by something. It could be another terrorist attack. It could be a meltdown of a major economy that nobody saw coming. It could be a number of things. There is no telling of what will be the final blow that will force these markets down, but it will be something, or at least something will be blamed on it. I don't believe in the news portion of it. Markets don't really typically run on news. They might pop one way or the other on a news item, but then they're going to go back and find that equilibrium until they either break out and continue to trend higher and buyers keep coming in with new money, or when they puke to the downside, which I think is going to be what's next, and the sellers will come in and money, new money will come in and try to stop it. But of course, the panic and fear will overrun it to the downside eventually, until we get that final blow, the final curtain, and then you will see the end. And of course, then the markets will repeat. So, you know, it's mix and repeat. Mix and repeat markets do the same things over and over and over again. This has never changed since before there were actually real organized markets. There was always trading going on, whether you were trading, you know, food for land in the caveman days. Whatever it was, you have something I need, I have something you need. We're going to make a trade and we're going to discover price. So the markets will find a reason to go down. And again, I'm not predicting any particular time. I'm just telling you that's a mathematical certainty. It's just like we hear this ridiculous talk in the news talking about who's the next, the best president for the next, for the market. And as was in 08, they could have put an empty chair in Washington and the market was going to rally. As it will be in 2016, 2017, they can put that same empty chair and that market's going to sell off. There's nobody that is going to be able to stem the market when it's ready to start to sell off. Now, again, it's obvious after 38 days in a row of less than a 1% move that the markets themselves are not ready to go down. And that's no big deal. We're not going to worry about it. Again, these are things you have to learn as a trader, investor, speculator, whatever it is you're doing, that the market works in cycles or phases. And when you finally realize that, you will make yourself more successful because you will not be emotional. You will not listen to these jackasses, you know, either preaching overall exuberance or unbelievable fear, because markets are driven on fear and greed. They're driven by the fact of human emotion. Just like any other game you play that takes some calculation, if you're the one who's emotional, you're the one who's going to lose. Okay? Emotions get you nowhere. Emotions get you in trouble. It gets you in trouble in a relationship with your boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife. Doesn't matter. Okay? That is the issue. So it's your job to sit back and relax and let the markets trade. If you're wrong, you should be disciplined enough to know that you take X amount of dollar loss and you move on. Okay? Do not try to outsmart the market. Do not try to outsize the market. The markets are too big. There is too much money. There is too many things going on. We are not capable of outsizing the market. We are not capable of picking the exact direction at the exact time. That is why we read and watch the footprint of the market. Because if we don't watch the footprint of the market, we don't see the money flow. We don't see the order flow. And we're just kind of guessing and trying to play the lottery. But the difference is, if you buy a lottery ticket, it costs you a buck. If you make a bad trade and you don't use the proper discipline to get out, if you're wrong, okay, you lose a lot more. That is why many people go broke when they're doing this, because they're trying to play the fundamental picture in the markets that don't trade off of fundamental pictures. Okay, so don't put yourself in these positions. Okay, you can make a bad trade. That's okay. You can lose money. There's going to be losses. But as long as you can minimize those losses and maximize those profits, over the long term, you're going to be fine. You're going to be able to maintain and stay in business. It's those that decide that they're smarter, they're too leveraged, they're too opinionated, that end up losing and getting their ass kicked and look for something else to do, because apparently the trading world was not for them. This is why I warn you on a regular basis to not try to outsmart what's going on. Go with it. You'll make a lot more money. You'll be a lot happier, and you won't have as many sleepless nights trying to fight what is a market that's going to do what it's going to do. No matter what you think, no matter what I think, the markets are going to do what they're going to do until they show you a footprint. Wait for the footprint and take that footprint and walk it over to libertytalk.fm and download The Bubba Show every day. And make sure you help me. We just got past 260,000 downloads on a monthly basis. I'm trying to get to 300,000. I need your help. So make sure libertytalk.fm is one of your stops every day. This is The Bubba Show. This is Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'm going to step out of here for a break, and we'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Fly me to the moon. Let me
trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. And as you know, if you don't remember, every Wednesday I do Rural Radio, and I do Rural TV too, or RFD TV, but I do Rural Radio every Wednesday with Marlon Bowling, except yesterday's Wednesday because it was Mark Oppelt. But we talk about the commodity markets and the grain markets, and let's go check out what I had to say with them.
Horowitz, Bubba Trading, BubbaTrading.com. Morning, Todd.
What do you say, Mark? How are you?
Well, you know, we're just trying to do some radio here. So thanks for joining us this morning. And a lot of green arrows around the grain trade overnight. What do you make of all that?
Well, you know, I mean, I do think that we have probably found somewhere near a bottom. I think that, you know, we saw, you know, yesterday we kind of held around the flat line, you know, plus or minus. But, you know, beans were a little bit stronger, and again, a little bit stronger this morning. I mean, I look for soybeans to go back to 10. Before, you know, maybe pulling back a little bit. I think they're pretty much range bound 940 to 10 for a while here. But I do believe that corn has probably put, you know, a bottom in. I think that, you know, this is to me, it's an opportunity as a trader to be buying them here. And we'll continue to do so. I mean, that was a pretty good flush out when we got down to 315, 314 and, you know, and three quarters. And now we're moving up. Now, again, there should be some resistance around 340 on the way up, and then we'll see. But, again, I think we're going to start, you know, more on the ascending angle now instead of the descending angle. So I think the lows are in, and I'd like to see them, you know, churn around here and try to lift higher, but without, you know, going up too quickly here. But I think we'll be okay, and I think it'll be a good back half of the year, a good last quarter.
Exactly, yeah. Now, a lot of listeners taking advantage of a free preview here on Sirius XM and tuning in 147, maybe not hearing you on a regular basis, that you just made a comment that you want to have a steady climb higher, you know, not that spike higher. That's not healthy for the market, let alone the producer.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, from a trading standpoint, you know, and I do both and I watch both, but from a trading standpoint, you never want to see a market spike up. When you're looking for a market to turn, usually that's a matter of short covering, and they're squeezing out what we call the weak hands, and then they're going to go out and make new lows once again. That's usually pretty typical. And, you know, as we look at the market and we look at the different phases that they trade in, a short covering rally is only good for very short term, unfortunately, and usually it will mean that we're going to go back down. And I think now we've had that, what we call the final flush out, the blow off to the downside. And now I think, you know, you want to see a steady movement, which means new money is flowing in. It's not old money that's short, that's scared. And that's what we want to watch for. And that's what I'm always looking for, because at the end, market always comes down to price action. And that's really what we focus on. Although there's, you know, we look at fundamentals and everything else, but the bottom line is it comes down to price, because that's what people are either willing to sell it or willing to pay for it.
Mm-hmm. Now, we're going to talk about the livestock trade here in a minute, but I want to maybe just go to some outside factors just briefly, because you watch it all, the dollar, the you know, Federal Reserve. Now, hold your tongue on that one. And some of the other upside factors, you're watching gold. We mentioned at the top of the show, down a little bit here. Talk about what you're, if you are focusing on any of those markets here today, and why.
Well, you know, I watch crude very closely because that ties a lot into farmers and producers. And you know, crude looks like it's headed to 40 before it'll turn around. I think, you know, we've got... There's so many things that are upsetting the apple cart, and we've got, you know, the Federal Reserve being number one, and not the Federal Reserve by itself, but their monetary policy, which has been really swinging the dollar around. And of course, now the dollar is becoming weaker again, and you would think that we would start to see some rally in some of these commodity spaces. But overall, there's so much uncertainty as to what they may or may not do, which is creating the bigger problem, because you've got a lot of money trying to outguess what's going to happen next, which is kind of forcing these markets to do things that are a little bit out of character. And, you know, we'll get it straightened out here, and price discovery will figure it out, and it'll start moving in the correct direction. But I don't think there'll be a rate increase, which will be good for farmers and producers for now. But I do believe that we need to get this rate increase out of the way and start rates going back up, because overall that would be much better for everybody in the long term.
Now, why is that? People say, wow, how can a interest rate be good for me, Todd?
Well, it's a great question. But the problem is when you have no interest rates, you have no new business coming in, because the average guy can't go out and borrow money. It's tough enough for people to borrow money when things are good. When interest rates and the spread between the bank's borrowing rate and their lending rate is so small, they don't want to lend money. They'd rather give it back to what we call the full faith and credit of the United States government and just buy bonds and take the free money versus trying to put it out on the street and lend it. So until we can free up what we call liquidity for the average guy, and those are farmers and producers and business guys, we're not going to get money, and it becomes much tougher, because you cannot build new business if you can't borrow money, because most of us use credit lines and things like that to float our business and our inventory. And until we get that, it's going to continue to make things smaller and let the big guys get bigger, in the meantime squeezing the little guys.
All right. Todd Horwitz here from Bubba Trading. It's BubbaTrading.com. We're going to take a break and come back and visit more with Todd Horwitz, looking at the livestock trade, among other things. We continue Commodity Wrap right after this, joined by Todd Horwitz, Bubba Trading. It's BubbaTrading.com. Pretty easy website to remember there. And what are they going to find? Todd, we appreciate your time, and all these analysts that you take your time to share expertise and input with us. We want to help you as much as we can as well, and reciprocate. Send folks to your website. What are they going to find at BubbaTrading.com?
Well, you know, Mark, we try to help farmers and producers with their marketing plans. We try to help them hedge so that when we're in times of despair like we are right now, that they can sleep at night not worrying about you know, having to pay the bank back, because the bank understands the hedges that we put on, and they're going to get, you know, we have newsletters, and you know, we try to do everything we can to make them understand how the markets actually work, because you know, farming and the markets are not necessarily the same thing, and sometimes we tend to get carried away. So it's best to learn the actual function of what the market is doing and why the market does what it does, and figuring out that. So that's our thing. We try to help and make sure that everybody gets a better view of the actual market, to take away some of the emotions that we all feel when things aren't going well.
Yeah, exactly. That's when you don't want to be making decisions when they're in an emotional market. All right, and a lot of folks wondering about some answers in the livestock trade. So it's BubbaTrading.com, by the way, listeners. Livestock complex, a lot of folks tuning in. Help us out here, Todd. Understand why we are at five-year lows here in the cattle trade.
You know, it is amazing, but remember, we just made, you know, 8 and 9 year lows in wheat and corn, and now we're down here in the cattle. We've got a lot of issues out there, and of course, you know, we're a little bit, you know, according to the fundamentals, a little bit oversupplied, but really you're having just a panic, and, you know, people are looking to get out of everything, and it's kind of like a spiraling effect as they start to see sellers, more sellers step in. And what I'm hearing from around the different farms around the country who I talk to almost every day, there's a lot of panic out there, and people are wondering what's going to happen next. And usually that's a pretty good sign that we're getting close to a bottom. I thought yesterday when we talked on air that I thought we were, you know, at it. And of course we puked out late in the day, but we're pretty close. I mean, I'm going to say that somewhere around here, we're going to find a bottoming pattern. And to talk about what we talked about in the first part, last Tuesday we had that huge turnaround. Everybody was excited, and I said, no, that's not good. We don't want to see this. And what we really want to see here is a lower opening
in which we can build off of that and start to build forward. If we get another pop in the morning like we did yesterday, it'll be just another opportunity to sellers, because the sellers are waiting to come in, and we need to force them out. So you're going to see, you know, probably pretty quick here, a little bit more of selling. But again, it'll stop, and the puking will stop, and the people will stop getting out, and you'll quit hearing all the worry on the farms, because that's what we're hearing right now. And the cash markets have been under a lot of pressure, which means there's a lot of sellers. And pretty soon that'll change, and all of a sudden, for no reason, we'll start the rally. And I think we found somewhere near the lows here, and I would look for higher prices coming shortly. But we can never tell how much lower they're going to go, but I think we're pretty close.
Very good. And how does that change looking at the lean hog complex here? October down $1.80 at the close yesterday, and right around 58.5 on October.
Well, I'll tell you what, hogs went from the worst to the best, and they're still fairly good here. I mean, you know, if we go back a couple of weeks, you know, we finally made a low at around 58, and I think that 58 to 64 is the range we're trading in, and I'll be looking to be a buyer here somewhere down if we get down to that 58 level, because I think there's going to be the area that we're gonna bounce up from. I believe we're going to break out that over that 64 level, but it's going to take a little work. You know, markets don't go automatically or when you want them to, but I think if you follow the pattern that it's leaving, or what we call the footprint that's being left in the market, 58 to 64 is really solid, and I would definitely be a buyer down at the 58 level.
Very good. Todd, thanks for all your time this morning. Look forward to visiting on our Market Day report here later. We get this market open, and again, I guess, get an update from you.
Thanks, Mark. Have a great day. We'll see you this afternoon.
Too. As always, Todd Horwich.
It was me with Mark Oppelt, and of course, I love doing the farm stuff with them, because, again, I believe that I can be a big service to the farm community, because I am not emotional, and I do understand how the market works, and it's my job and my goal in life to make sure that all my friends, farmers and producers, also know how the markets work, so that we can all prosper together, and when things are not good, we can all be protected together to make sure that things are smooth and we don't have to panic. We don't have to lose sleep at night. We can continue to roll forward. And of course, on RFD TV, I repeated what we've said here and continue to believe that the markets have seen the lows. And I think we continue to start to now try to find a base and work our way higher. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. Go to libertytalk.fm and download the podcast version every day. We're going to step out of here for a break, and we're going to be back after the break. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz will be right back. Welcome back. It's Bubba, The Bubba Show, Thursday. NFL kickoff tonight. Exciting. I can't wait. Give me some. Since there's no trading, we have to do some trading in the football, a little fantasy football. But at the end of the day, here we are again. We're not doing much in the way of the markets, and we are certainly not seeing an overall improvement in the economy as much as the leaders would like you to believe. The liars, the cheaters, the thieves, and the crooks. Oh, those are the politicians that continue to steal our money, okay? And it's always under that it's good for you. You know, I think I'd like to make up my own mind what's good for me. So far, I have found out that, according to them, what's good for me is that they, number one, devalue my currency. So the dollars that I have in my pocket become worth less every single minute. I found out that they can charge me more taxes. I found out that they can force me to help pay to bail out an industry that caused a collapse. So, you know, I'm not a big fan of being ripped off. You know, I don't know that it's any different than having somebody mug you in the street. The difference is that we get mugged legally by our government. We get mugged legally by our President Obama, who continues to ignore, I think, what the issues are of importance, being ISIS
and taking care of business and stopping all this ridiculous violence, and worries about things that have no meaning to anybody. I think that I get robbed by every regulation that they make. Basically, they're stealing money from the common company, the common man, and eliminating the entrepreneur and the small business. And I think that, my friends, is a bigger problem. And then, of course, we have the election with somebody who should be in jail for what she has done. I mean, and I'm only basing it on other cases that I've seen are similar. I don't really quite understand how these are not a part of it, and how she does not have to, pay the piper. I think that you find that amazingly that politicians, of course, they do live under a separate set of laws. So that is an issue in itself. I think that we have to, you know, clean this mess up so that we can actually get back to what we really are, which is the greatest country in the world with all of the potential in the world. But we have to cut through some of the crap that we've allowed to come forward. And of course, as I've said many, many times, and even today, it's always done and said that it's done with our best interest. And as you know, nobody does things for your best interest. That's a bunch of hogwash. That's a bunch of crap. Not one of these guys is doing things for your best interest. They're doing it for their own. Okay? Why else would the Congress not have to be part of regular Social Security? Why else would the government not have to be part of Obamacare? If they were doing it for me and for my own good, why am I not on the same plan that they are? Okay. Why is my pension plan not the same as theirs? I mean, you'd have to think about that and say, well, maybe that's right. Okay. So, you know, if they are really there to help, okay, and of course, the old quote, I'm from the government and I'm here to help, and that means you should go hide in a corner somewhere. If they're really there to help me, why don't I have the same benefits that they do? Okay. Why do they make 5 or 6 or 7 times the average wage in America? What are they doing that is so damn good? I would find hard-pressed to find any of them that are doing anything worthwhile, other than talking a lot about nothing and raising a lot of money to do nothing with it, except pad their own pockets. Is it not time that we clean this shit up? Is it not time to empty the wastebaskets? Because as far as I'm concerned, Washington, D.C. is a waste. It's a bunch of people that have their own interests, not mine, not yours, that continue to figure out ways to make us work harder, to make less money, and to pay back more to them. So where is it that we can finally say, hey, let's move past that, okay? But of course, we have the one big problem, though, the lobbyists and the jackasses, okay? And the people like Mark Cuban, who 6 months ago was willing to be Donald Trump's running mate, then he was willing to be Hillary's running mate, and now he's saying that Donald Trump is going to create the greatest market class of ever. So, you know, is that there's a billionaire, okay, who I give him credit, he sold out at the top, had a great idea, built it, smart guy, but not smart when it comes to this. That's just ignorant to even think and speak like that, because at the end of the day, if you haven't noticed, the president doesn't mean anything to the market. We talked about that earlier today, okay? So now we got the special interest groups and the lobbyists, you know, with the Warren Buffetts of the world, you know, Mr. I'm so great and I do everything so wonderful, but I want to make sure that I screw the American people too. But I'll pretend that I'm a good guy. I'll pretend that I have everybody's best interest at heart. But in the meantime, I'm going to make sure that the rules of the game only favor me. Okay? I mean, does anybody there believe that anybody who donates millions and millions and millions of dollars is doing it out of their good nature? Or are they doing it because they're actually creating favor with who's ever in office? Well, I don't believe that they're doing it out of their good nature. I believe they're doing it strictly out of their own personal benefit. So, you know, the Warren Buffetts of the world, all the big shots that come out and tell you how good they are and what great philanthropists they are, I really don't believe they are that great at philanthropy. They may be smart, and certainly they are. They got more money than me, and they've built empires. But in my view, I see guys that are doing exactly what everybody does, and that's trying to buy the system to create favor for their personal selves, their business, their whatever, and could care less about the rest. And that is, to me, the bigger problem that continues to go on. That is what's got to change, because until we get rid of the special interests, the ability to buy elections, the ability to buy politicians, the ability of these guys to continue to fleece the American people out of their hard-earned cash, okay, creating issues and problems for you that are not necessary and don't need to be addressed, but yet they find ways to address them. Until that ceases, we will continue to have this argument forever. And it will only get worse, especially if Hillary Clinton wins, until there's a change from the top down and we get rid of the special interests and we get rid of all this crap. We are going to continue to fight the same battle. And the battle will be is the Federal Reserve will continue to print money they don't have, to let a government operate on money they shouldn't be using. And of course, I've always said this, if you or I did what they're doing, we would be in one of two places, that is bankruptcy court or jail. But fortunately, you're here with me on The Bubba Show. And if you miss me, you can go to libertytalk.fm and download the podcast version, as well as The Sporting Edge, in which we'll cover tonight's football game. In the meantime, everybody have a great day. Thank you so much for being here. I hope you enjoy, if you're an NFL fan, I hope you enjoy it tonight. We'll see you back here tomorrow. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you back here tomorrow.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.